Hey, Open Mic Podcast listeners. Want to share your opinions, give me feedback, or tell me what you're thinking? If you do, send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio that might end up in future episodes of the podcast. They're the latest feature from Anchor, the platform that I use to make this show. Here are some things that I would love to hear from you. What questions do you have for me? What did you think of the episode? What did you think of the topic? Who should I interview next? Make up a theme song. I don't know. Do your best impression of me. I'll see all of your messages and I might add them into a future episode. Anchor makes that part super easy. You can send me a voice message right now from wherever you're at, wherever you're listening. Just tap the link in my show notes and I can't wait to hear from you. Again, thanks for listening to the Open Mic Podcast. Until next time, cheers and be well and enjoy today's episode. Today's podcast is sponsored and brought to you by Spades Sunshades, a poker lifestyle brand that sells quality and affordable sunglasses. Jeff Weber and his team make an amazing product and they want you to get in on the game. Glasses start at only $15 and $25 for polarized. These amazing Spades Sunshades are made by and for poker players. There is nothing else like this on the market. Use promo code BrettsOpenMic to get some free shipping on me. Head over to SpadesSunshades.com and get your pair today.
It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into episode 93 of the Open Mic Podcast. Happy Wednesday to you. It is good to be here with you. And man, do we have another fantastic episode lined up for you today. I am super excited about this. I just love this job. It's so much fun. I enjoy doing this. It's just really, and I say this all the time, but it really is a dream come true to be able to talk to so many interesting people and wow, blown away. The fact that we're almost at 100 episodes is huge. I started this back in March, I believe, and now we are in October. And man, just completely humbled and so thankful that I get to do this and that the people want to listen is even a huge deal. It's just, it goes through so many different levels in my head and to so many people who have helped and have supported the podcast and really helped us get our feet off the ground and moving. And of course, it's just, it's incredible. Hope everybody had a fantastic day today. And I did. It's been a slow work week, but as the holidays come along, we're going to start getting busier and busier. Looking forward to a nice weekend. I know it's crazy. It's already Wednesday and I'm ready for the weekend. How many are ready for the weekend? Raise your hands. Anyway, thanks for listening. If you follow us on social media at the Open Mic Podcast on Instagram, Brett's Open Mic on Twitter, and of course, Brett Allen on Facebook, you can also head over to theopenmicpodcast.net and check out all the latest episodes and guest information. All of that is there. And definitely check it out. You can listen to old episodes, find out about me, anything you want to know, ask us a question. You're welcome to join us and join the party over there as well. So without further ado, let's get to our guest today. I have been looking forward to this conversation for a very long time. My guest today is Jody Krangle. And Jody, welcome to the podcast. It's good to have you here today.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you inviting me.
Well, this is very cool. Jody is a voiceover actor, and she does a lot of different things. And if you're listening right now, you probably recognize her voice, which is very cool because she's done a million commercials, television spots, and I'm very excited to be chatting with you today. So the first question I have really is, how long have you been a voiceover actor? Artist. You have a very interesting background. We talked about this offline as we were getting to know each other. So if you wouldn't mind sharing that, because you've been really doing this type of thing for a very long time.
Well, I mean, I have actually been a full-time voice actor since 2007. So that's really when I started in the business. But I had a bit of an intro to it volunteering for the CNIB, which is the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, in 95, 96. The bug kind of bit. I didn't really realize that it was even a job until then. So, you know, it's one of those things where you just hear voices in everything that you're doing all day, every day, and you don't realize where they're coming from or who's doing them.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing. I talk to so many different people, and it's like comedians. It's like, how do you get into that? And you talk to voiceover actors. And I find this to be so intriguing because what you do, you are imaging, really, in a sense, people's businesses, commercials. What are some of the people that you've worked for in the last several years that you've been doing this particular line of work?
Oh, well, I tend to do a lot of anthem videos. And by that, I mean videos that are speaking proudly of the company that they describe. you know, the videos of, you know, here's how we do this and we're really proud of doing this and et cetera, et cetera. So I've done those for Bose. I've done them for Dell. I've done them for BBVA Compass, a bunch of different ones. I'm particularly happy with the work that I do for Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital.
And oh, yes.
I really, really love working on their commercials. They do some really intriguing and innovative stuff with their commercials. So it's a lot of fun to do. I do a lot of healthcare.
Yes. And I believe I've heard you even doing Disney Vacations. Am I correct on that?
Not Disney Vacations. It's Visit Orlando.
Oh, Visit Orlando. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do Visit Orlando campaigns generally in places where it's colder during the winter. and I know, like, for instance, all over Ontario, there have been a ton of these. They put them in the UK and they do them through Tampa and Orlando itself so that they can get the locals going as well. So I've been doing it a while and it's a fun campaign. They really are great people to work with.
Yes, I could possibly imagine it would be just a lot of fun. Now, before you started doing voiceover work, you were doing music libraries online as well, correct? You were archiving and providing music to individual companies. Am I understanding that correctly?
Not quite. Okay. I had what was a songwriting resource
web.
So it was a resource for songwriters to help them be more creative and understand the business side of being a songwriter and how to actually make some money at it. So you weren't a struggling musician, you know, this kind of stuff. And I started that in 1995. So that was even before message boards. In the very beginning, I remember asking people to email me responses to questions that I would put up just in HTML format in a website, and I'd post their responses just again in HTML, like it was sort of really rudimentary message boarding.
Oh yeah.
So very, very beginning of all of that. And it grew to a podcast radio station, and there was all sorts of other stuff that was involved, a large message board community as well, which spun off after I closed it and is still going on now.
Wow, that's unbelievable. So really, you've been at this even type of game for a long time before it even became a thing.
Yeah.
So that's
I've
very
been
incredible.
Doing that a long time.
Very, very cool. I love it. So I guess the big question that I would have, and most of my listeners, how did you know that this is something that you could do? Like, obviously, when I listen to you, your voice lent itself to that sort of thing. But how did you know in particular that this is something that I know you shared just briefly a little bit a few minutes ago, but in more depth, hey, I could do this and I could be very good at it?
Well, I've been a singer all my life, so I didn't come at this as an actor. I came at it as a performer, but as a musician performer. And so for me, a lot of it is the notes and beats of scripts and understanding what the writers intend. And coaching helps hugely. But yeah, it was the singing, really. You know, I've always used my voice. I've always known how to work with a microphone. You know, these kinds of things are rudimentary, you would think, but in the beginning stages of being a voice actor, there are things you need to learn. And if you know them already, you're ahead of the game.
Very interesting. So how much training have you had to get to where you are right now?
Oh my, I'm still training. I train constantly. I don't like to stand still. I started training when I first got into it and could actually afford it. It probably took me around 2.5 years before I was actually making a living beyond the previous living that I had been making. it's a constant thing. I mean, I'm always learning more, but I appreciate coaches that can help me get behind the meaning of the words that are on the page, because once I know those meanings, I sound more like I'm a person and less like I'm reading.
Very interesting. And I have a friend, he has a podcast as well, and he interviewed Brett Allen Hagel, I believe his name is. Mm-hmm. Who voices like the news for Megyn Kelly and all of these different things. And he was saying, and I find this so intriguing, that it's just a continual learning process. And you have to audition just like everybody else, I would imagine, right?
Totally. Yeah. And I certainly don't get everything I audition for. Auditioning is like 80% of our, you know, quote, job.
So I imagine it's like going to a job interview several times a week, and then possibly not hearing whether you got it or not, or you did get it. How does that work for you? How many auditions do you typically have to go through before you know that you're going to get something? Let's say Visit Orlando. How did that process work? Did you have to audition for that several times, or was that just a one-time thing?
That was a one-time thing, and that was through an agent of mine. So one of the best ways to improve your odds is to have as many places sending you auditions as possible. So agents are one tool in my toolbox, but I directly contact marketing agencies and advertising agencies and production companies and, you know, all that sort of stuff on my own, so that I have relationships with these people. And if they have something come up, instead of me competing with thousands of other people, I'm only competing with 10. You know,
sure.
Because they have a very small roster of people that they just call on a regular basis. And it really depends on what the client wants. So really, it's all about what the client is hearing in their own head. So I can't get too worked up about being passed over, because it just means that they envision someone else's voice in their head and not mine. So it's less competitive, if that makes any sense. That's why the people in the voice acting industry are so fun and supportive of each other, because it's really not a you're better than me type thing. It's more of a, well, you were what they had in mind at this point in time.
It does seem like a very tight-knit community. It really does. And if I go on social media and I'm just looking at people, it seems like, oh, this person is working on a demo track tape for this person, or someone else is maybe editing yours and you're editing theirs and piecing it together.
Because some people are better at doing that than others. I don't tend to volunteer my editing time.
That's a lot of work. I mean, a podcast is very rudimentary, I think, as far as editing. So, and I get stressed out sometimes when I have to edit an episode because of all of the background noises, the ums, the ahs, the coughs, the pauses. So,
sure.
I can't even imagine what you must experience for yourself if you're putting together a demo reel of everything that you've done.
Well, I don't do it myself. Here's the thing with demo reels. Typically, the actual voice actor shouldn't be doing it themselves. And the reason I say that is because there's so many ways that you can be too subjective when it comes to your own work. You really need an outside ear to be able to tell you what you're really good at and what maybe you should pass along, you know, not do. And also, it helps to have someone doing your demo who can actually write really good scripts for you. So you're not necessarily always using the work that you've done. And the reason I say that is because, as much as I love doing what I do, our business is very subjective towards our clients. This is totally a customer service related industry, completely. I do what the client tells me to do. Whether I feel that that end result would then be, you know, worthy of being on a demo reel as something I would want the world to hear, sometimes it's debatable.
So intriguing. Wow. It's unbelievable. So you do what they tell you. Basically, they say, hey, Jody, we would like you to do a commercial for this. Mm-hmm. And then they bring you on to the session. And how long does a typical session last?
It really depends on whether I can get really quickly to what the client wants, what they're hearing in their head. Typically anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour. It depends on how picky they're going to be. It depends on how long the script is. If it's a commercial, typically anywhere from 5 minutes to a half an hour, depending on how many times they want me to redo things, how many options they want. You know, the script could change while we're in the session. That happens.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's all about me getting them what they want as quickly as possible so that I waste no one's time.
Right, because time is money, especially in this type of business, I would imagine, for yeah. both parties, because it's a lot. and you're really, I would say, in my opinion, the calling card of the business, because we can watch a commercial and get emotionally evoked in a lot of ways, but when you come on, whether it's Steinmart or whoever, it's like, wow, okay, I want to go do this now, because I was watching your commercials for Visit Orlando just a few days ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I want to go to Florida now and get out of this cold weather we're about to have here in San Francisco.
Oh, so, yeah.
It's very, very cool. So let's talk about a little bit more specifically. You get reached out to by a client. And they said, we want you to do this particular spot. How do you, outside of them telling you what they want, how much lead time do you have to prepare to kind of come up with some different ideas? Or is it just something that's they dial you up and it's on the spot?
It can mostly be the latter. It depends on what they're sending me. If it's a commercial and I'm looking at the copy and I can pretty much tell from that copy what kind of tone they're going to be after when I do it. And they hire me for a specific reason. You know, like I have a particular type of warm, friendly type voice that
I would
they would go for. Yeah. So healthcare and spas and, you know, things of that nature, and retail, which I do a lot as well. I've done a lot of stuff for furniture stores. So, you know, this kind of thing, they know sort of what they want before they call me up. And I am naturally just the type of voice that they wanted for that spot already, because probably I previously auditioned for the spot, or they picked it from my demo reel. They picked a particular portion of my demo reel and said, we want you to sound like this. So it just depends on what they're after in the actual session. But a lot of it really does happen in the spur of the moment.
Well, it's just like being, well, you are an actor, really, in a sense. I mean, mm-hmm. you may not be on television per se or film, but really, I think what you do is almost more important to a degree, because you're selling that product for that particular person. Now, I did want to ask you something in particular. I know a lot of voice actors, what they do is they will do, I believe it's called scratch tracks, where they will maybe pick somebody that they want to work for and record like a demo for them. Do you do anything like that in particular? If there's somebody that you wanted to work with and you just throw something together for them and go, this is what I can do for you?
I certainly would if someone approached me. It's not something I've done before, but I know of talent who have. For instance, if they really want to be a voice for a promo network or something like that, they'll take a spot that they've seen and they'll put their voice on the video and send it along and say, look, this is what I could do for you. So yeah, I've heard of people doing that. I haven't personally done that.
Yeah, I imagine that could be maybe even a little bit of extra work.
You do it willingly. I mean, it's not like a problem to do.
Sure.
If I really wish to go after a particular client, yeah, sure, I'd do something like that.
So what advice would you have for someone who maybe wants to get into this particular line of work? What would you say to them if they came to you and said, hey, I'm very interested. I want to be a voiceover actor. How do I get into this particular career field?
Well, I would say research is your friend. Google is your friend. There's a lot of information out there, way more than when I started. And even before 2007, there was more, you know, there for people who came before me. Before, in the early days, it was really mostly a who you knew game. And nowadays, it really isn't. You could start on your own just by doing some Google research and figuring out who to ask the right questions to. And message boards aren't really a thing anymore, but Facebook groups are definitely a thing. There's a ton of them, and they're all very helpful. The people are really great to talk with. Pick someone that you feel you admire or you would like to work with and ask them some questions. Maybe that's, you know, if they have the time to help you out, and a lot of us do, not a huge amount of time on their hands, but, you know, we're pretty generous with our information. You can probably find someone who will answer your questions easily. And the one other thing that I would say is this is a business. So don't run it like, you know, you're just going to show up and you don't have to do anything and you don't have to research. You don't have to find clients. You're just going to show up or, you know, be on the internet and people will come, because that's not how it works. I am constantly marketing myself, and I know every voice actor that I know is also doing that. So it's not a waiting game. You have to go out and put yourself out there.
Absolutely. And as far as investing in equipment, I would imagine you have to get the very best, right? If you're going to be recording and putting these demos together.
Yes and no. While I appreciate a good mic, I think your environment is really what's going to be the make or break of your career. You need a place that is quiet. You need a place that has dead space. So if you can hear around me, the recording environment is quite what they call dead and clean, so that a producer can go and take your audio and put whatever coloring they want in post-production. So you don't want to color stuff before they get it. The cleaner your environment, the quieter, the deader the area, even if it's just a corner of a closet or you hang moving blankets around you on the ceiling. You can do it on the cheap, but you need to figure out some kind of a good recording environment, because if you don't have that, you have nothing.
Yeah, and I can imagine those things could be distractions, the noises in the background, and maybe cause a producer or a director to not want to hire you because you have, I don't know, a cat meowing in the background or something.
Oh, yeah. No, you definitely can't have that. I mean, I have a 5x4 sound treated booth. It's not soundproof because there's really no way to accurately do that unless you have like a 6-foot concrete floor beneath you.
Oh, wow.
It's impossible to do, really, unless you have a huge amount of equipment and expense. And, you know, some people have managed to do it, but it's really hard to do, you know, for the average person. So if someone's mowing their lawn outside or there's a leaf blower or a plane goes overhead, you know, you stop. You stop and then you record when it's done. You know, you don't ever leave any of these background noises on any recording you send to anyone. That's unprofessional. That would label you as not a professional.
And I imagine that word would probably travel quite fast if you did something like that.
Well, in that circle, probably. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the type of person who would say that you've killed your prospects forever, but, you know, lesson learned, I would hope, and you'd do better in the future.
What type of dream collaborations do you have, people that you would like to work with or something along those lines? Do you have an interest to go into maybe film or television or audiobooks, or does it just kind of depend on what your previous experience has been that would allow you to do something like that?
I really have no interest in audiobooks. I know a lot of people they love it. And typically those are people who are theater or film actors, and they love the idea of acting out the different characters, making the story come to life. I totally get that. But long form narration is not really my thing. I tend to do the shorter spots and, you know, 5 minutes of finished audio or less, mostly because my turnaround time is really quick for my clients. And I don't like to bung that down if I don't absolutely have to. So I want to be able to give my clients their audio within an hour of them talking to me, sometimes sooner. I've done spots in half an hour, 20 minutes. So it really depends on who the client is and what they're after. But mostly, I love doing those anthems. So those corporate video narrations, I love them. They're so much fun. I'll do them for, you know, whoever asks me. It's great. I would love to be the voice of a brand at some point. That would be fantastic. I particularly love Steinmart because I have shopped there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a love of mine, but there are other loves and, you know, there's lots out there that could be a love. So any particular brand that's looking for a voice that would represent them. And if they think I'm the right fit, then that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think you would do fantastic. So when you're not doing voiceover work, what do you do? Or do you just do this all the time?
I do this as often as I possibly can, but I am a geeky fangirl at heart. So I watch a lot of science fiction and fantasy TV and movies and stuff like that. And I play D&D.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I like being in the realm of imagination.
Yes, I would say that what you do lends itself to that quite a bit. And I think it's awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate you taking the time to be a part of my show. And we connected, and that's fantastic. So if people want to get in contact with you and just find out what it is that you do and maybe learn, how can they find you?
Easiest way would be yummyvoice.com. Y-U-M-M-Y V-O-I-C-E.com.
And do you teach classes in particular, or do you train, or?
I do not. I do not pretend to be a coach at all. I've gotten some really great coaching in my past, and I will recommend people if they want to ask me, but I do not coach.
Yeah, I imagine that could be a whole different thing if you chose to do that, because it takes a lot of time, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's a full-time job, and I really like doing voiceovers, so I don't necessarily want to take away from that.
Jody, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again.
Alrighty then, that brings today's episode to a close. Jody Krangle, thank you for being with us. Again, all of her information will be available in the show notes. Our podcast can be heard everywhere. Thanks for following us on social media. Until next time, let somebody know that you love them and let them know that you care. We'll talk to you soon.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.